Chapter 7. Pandemics and Public Health. Public health organisations, government groups, are responsible for the health of the population. They do this by educating people about how to stay healthy and avoid disease, and by showing them the connection between how they live and their general health. They can also help prevent disease with vaccination programmes and by encouraging the whole population to work together to help make the health of the country better. Explaining public health. In order for public health policies to be a success, first we need to understand why health is different for different groups of people. What affects the health of the population? Health is affected by many social matters. These include who we are, if we are male or female, our age, our DNA, where we live, our education, what we do, for example, if we smoke, eat healthy foods or exercise, where we work, and how much we earn. A good education will often mean a better job with a higher salary. A higher salary means people can afford a better house and eat healthier food. In some countries, this also means people have the money necessary to pay for medication and hospital treatment. The result of this is that these groups of people will probably live a longer, healthier life. People with lower salaries often work in jobs that are more dangerous, for example, as builders or in factories. They may also live in smaller houses or flats with many people living together in a small space. And they might have to travel long journeys on public buses and trains to get to work. The result is that they spend more time in places where disease can spread quickly and easily. All this can have a very negative effect, not only on a person's general health, but also on how long they live. Disease can have a negative effect on other areas of life too. The result of the bubonic plague in the 14th century was not only the death of millions of people, but also big changes to the economy. Most deaths were in the busy towns, which meant there were few people left to work in the different trades of the time. We also know that fear of others grew, and there were sadly attacks on Jews and foreigners during and immediately after the time of the bubonic plague. During the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, many companies in the US had to close, and there were not enough farmers to work the land. Children were left without parents, and people even had to bury members of their own families. There were also positive changes because of disease. In Sweden, for example, there was an interesting change to the economy immediately following the Spanish flu. As large numbers of young men were killed by the virus, women had to work in the factories in many regions. At the same time, there were also fewer marriages, and the number of births fell. The plague in Florence, Italy. One of the first examples of a good public health policy was during the time of the plague in Italy in the 17th century. When the plague arrived in Florence in 1630, the public health organisation introduced several policies to help protect the people of the town. Part of the policy was to help feed the poor by giving them bread, meat, vegetables, rice, and cheese for free. And to stop people from meeting in large groups and spreading the disease, schools, shops, and bars were closed for 40 days. Anyone who broke the law was either sent to prison or had to pay a sum of money. According to reports at the time, these public health policies were a success. 1 in 8 people died in Florence during this outbreak of the plague, a number that was far lower than in other towns in Italy where people had continued to live normal lives. Policies to prevent the spread of disease. Soon after the Spanish flu arrived in the US in spring 1918, hospitals began to find it more and more difficult to manage the number of new patients. The US had to look at ways to stop the disease spreading further, and so different public health policies were introduced across the country. The American Red Cross taught the population that to stop the disease, it was important to wash their hands as often as possible and to cover their nose and mouth with a mask. To reach as many people as possible, the organisation even wrote their information documents in 8 different languages. In San Francisco, wearing a mask became law and people were made to pay $5 if they didn't cover their face. In New York, shops and companies were told to open and close at different times to stop crowds on the trains. Many other towns closed schools, libraries, theatres and churches to stop people meeting in large groups. Those who were sick were often asked to quarantine. According to documents of the time, these policies helped save large numbers from dying. Some policies had less success, however. Masks were not popular with everyone, and in San Francisco, the Anti-Mask League fought against this policy when it was introduced. Many shops and companies, as well as schools and churches, fought to stay open during this time to help save jobs and give people hope. In Philadelphia, the public health director, Dr. Wilma Cruzan, thought it was more important to continue supporting the war and the army than protect the population. So he decided to lie about the disease, telling people the large number of deaths in the city was because of normal influenza and not the Spanish flu. He then agreed to have the Liberty Loan Parade, a big party to support the war for hundreds of thousands of people in the city centre. Just 3 days later, there were 635 deaths, and by March 1919, 15,000 people in Philadelphia had sadly lost their lives. Quarantine was not introduced in the UK, and this probably caused the Spanish flu to continue spreading around the country. Despite knowing that quarantine was the best way to stop the flu, the government decided it was more important to keep the factories open. This way, they could continue making equipment for the army during wartime. There are several reasons why public health policies are difficult to manage. One reason is that new viruses are being discovered all the time. According to Public Health England, in 2019, 12 new viruses have been discovered in the UK during the last 10 years, including MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and swine flu. Vaccines for these new viruses take a long time to develop and are expensive to produce. Another reason is international travel. Not only do we travel abroad for work and holidays, much of our trade today is international. We saw how travel and trade helped spread both the bubonic plague and the Spanish flu. Today, the chances of this are greater than ever. Anti-vaxxers. Another worry for the people responsible for public health are anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaxxers are people who, for different reasons, don't believe vaccines are a good idea. This might include anti-vaxxer parents who refuse to vaccinate their children. Vaccinations are still one of the best ways to prevent diseases caused by viruses. However, some people disagree, while others refuse them because of their religion. More still refuse to vaccinate or to be vaccinated either because they don't trust the science or because they don't trust the government who introduced the programs. Sadly, in the past, when large numbers have refused to be vaccinated, diseases like measles have appeared again. By 2002, measles had disappeared in the US, but this did not stop 600 new cases being reported in 2014 after parents had refused to vaccinate their children. Today, anti-vaxxers have a new tool to frighten parents: the internet, where false information spreads extremely fast. A few years ago, Info Vaccin, a Facebook group in France, posted several messages from parents who said their children had become seriously ill after being vaccinated. Sadly, many French parents believed what they read and stopped vaccinating their children. French public health organisations decided to go online themselves to try and manage the situation. They sent out messages and met parents online to discuss the importance of vaccination programmes like MMR. In 1998, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, in the UK, wrote a report about a connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. Although the research only included 12 children, parents became afraid, and suddenly the number of children being vaccinated in some areas fell to just 60%. The result was that the number of children developing measles rose. The MMR vaccination program in the UK was in danger, and public health organisations were afraid of an epidemic. Dr. Wakefield's results have since been rejected thanks to research in Japan. A study of 30,000 children in Yokohama proved there was no connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. In fact, the number of children with autism continued to rise in the town even after separate measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines were introduced. In some countries, parents no longer have a choice, as it has become the law to vaccinate all children. This is now the case in France, where children must have 11 vaccines before they can start school. Included in this list of vaccines are polio, hepatitis B, measles, and tetanus. Other countries in Europe, like Italy, Poland, and Slovenia, have since followed France's example. The role of international organisations. It is not only governments that are responsible for public health matters. International organisations, like the WHO, and the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, also play an important part in developing policies. Every year, scientists from the 194 member countries of the WHO look at the different types of influenza virus. It is their job to decide which of these viruses to include in the next flu vaccine. Public health organisations across the world then encourage older people and patients with poor health to become vaccinated against the flu. Every year, this helps stop outbreaks of flu around the world. Another matter that is important for members of the WHO is stopping the spread of polio. They voted to do this in 1988. At that time, there were still 350,000 cases of polio a year in 125 countries around the world. Today, because of good vaccination programs, cases of polio can be found in just two of those countries, Pakistan and Afghanistan. While the numbers of polio cases have fallen strongly, the WHO still wants to be sure every child is vaccinated. But this is not always simple in countries where there is war and poor health services. In many places, there are not even enough doctors or nurses to run the vaccination programs. Poor education, as well as differences in culture and religion, also mean that people either don't understand the reason for vaccination programs or don't trust them. The situation is extremely difficult to manage. Unless changes are made, it seems pandemics will continue being an international problem in the years to come. The World Bank believes around $6.7 billion a year was possibly lost between 1997 and 2009 because of outbreaks of viruses transmitted by animals. There were six outbreaks during this time. They also note that paying for better prevention and ways to control these diseases in poorer countries will cost $1.9 to $3.4 billion a year. The UN is worried about the number of new viruses that are transmitted by animals and insects like mosquitoes. International trade and travel increase the possibility of spreading these viruses. However, scientists also believe the number of mosquitoes and other insects is increasing because of climate change. One example of this is the increase in cases of West Nile virus that is transmitted by mosquitoes. It was noted in 2015 that cases had increased in the south and east of Europe, and they believe it may even spread as far as North Europe in the future. Learning from the past. Being prepared and learning from past events is extremely important for public health. Taiwan, for example, learned from the SARS and MERS outbreaks in 2003 and 2015. When the COVID-19 virus arrived in 2020, Taiwan began taking the temperature of passengers arriving from other countries at ports and airports. And any passengers coming from infected countries were immediately quarantined. It has been noted that these policies helped keep the numbers of people infected by COVID-19 in Taiwan low at that time. What is clear is that scientists need to work closely with governments in order to develop policies to fight against these new viruses. International organisations and governments must then work together to protect populations and be sure the world is prepared for any future challenges. Teaching girls about polio in Pakistan.